George Whitefield believed in preaching, and he gave his life to it. And he looked out over the terrain of the 18th century Britain and America, which he saw as a wasteland, and he summoned by prayer preachers into existence with words that I want to use tonight. I am longing that the Lord would use this conference to summon into being a kind of preacher. And I cannot say it better than Whitefield. So here's what he said. Oh, that we shall see the great head of the church once more raise up unto himself certain young men whom he may use in this glorious employ. And what manner of men will they be? Men mighty in the scriptures, their lives dominated by a sense of the greatness, the majesty, and the holiness of God, and their minds and hearts aglow with the great truths of the doctrines of grace. They will be men who have learned what it is to die to self, to human aims and personal ambitions, men who are willing to be fools for Christ's sake, who will bear reproach and falsehood, who will labor and suffer, and whose supreme desire will be not to gain earth's accolades, but to win the Master's approbation when they shall appear before His awesome judgment seat. They will be men who will preach with broken hearts and tear-filled eyes, and upon whose ministries God will grant an extraordinary effusion of the Holy Spirit, who will witness signs and wonders following in the transformation of multitudes of lives. End quote. Mighty in the scriptures, aglow with the great truths of the doctrines of grace, dead to self, willing to labor and suffer, indifferent to the accolades of man, broken for sin, and the one I want to focus on, dominated by a sense of the greatness and the majesty and the holiness of God. Whitefield believed that preaching was heralding the Word of God from that kind of heart. Preaching is not conversation. Preaching is not discussion. Preaching is not casual talk about religious things. Preaching is not teaching. Preaching is the heralding of a message permeated by a sense of the greatness and majesty and holiness of God. It can be any topic under the sun. And that topic is taken into the blazing center of the greatness and glory and holiness of God in the Word of God. That was Whitefield's view of preaching. And in the last century, the man who embodied it best was Martin Lloyd-Jones, who served Westminster Chapel for 30 years in London. J.I. Packer, you've read this testimony perhaps, when he was 22 years old, student, said that he heard Lloyd-Jones preach every Sunday night in the year 1948-49, and he said, I had never heard such preaching. Which, by the way, is why today so many people say so many minimizing and foolish things about preaching. They have never heard it. They don't know what it is. They have no basis for judgment as they belittle it and call for alternatives that are more effective. Lloyd-Jones said, it came to me with the force of electric shock, bringing more of a sense of God than any other man he had known. That's what Whitefield meant. And oh, that God would raise up in this room and across this country and the world, young preachers who leave their hearers with a spiritual sense of shock at the sense of God. Some sense of the infinite weight of the glory of God. That's my longing. That's my prayer for this conference and for you, that God would raise up thousands of brokenhearted, Bible-saturated preachers who are dominated by a sense of the greatness and the majesty and the holiness of God as He has been decisively revealed in Jesus Christ through the gospel of Christ crucified, risen, and reigning today over all nations, all armies, all cancer cells, and all politics, and all churches, and all false religions. That there would be a gripping of pastors today of the amazing weight of the absolute claims of the Lordship of Christ over the nations and over everybody in your city. They will bow or they will burn. There is no doubt about it. Jesus Christ lays absolute claim on planet Earth. Everybody in your city must bow their knee. That must grip pastors. God did not ordain the cross of Christ or create the lake of fire in order to communicate the insignificance of belittling His glory. The death of the Son of God and the damnation of unrepentant human beings are the loudest shouts conceivable under heaven that God is infinitely holy, that sin is infinitely offensive, that wrath is infinitely just, and that grace is infinitely precious, and that the brief little life that you and I live, and that everybody in our churches lives, is going to issue very quickly, either in everlasting joy or everlasting pain. This has got to grip us. There is a weight to this office. Where, brothers, is this weight going to be felt if not from you? VeggieTales? Not in a million years. Radio? Television? Discussion groups? Emergent conversations? If not from you in this pulpit, where? God planned for His Son to be crucified and for hell to be terrible so that we would have the clearest witnesses possible to what is at stake when we preach. What gives preaching its seriousness is that the mantle of preaching is soaked in the blood of Jesus and singed with the fire of hell. Are you wearing that mantle? It's the mantle that turns talkers into preachers. Yet tragically, some of the most prominent so-called evangelical voices today diminish the horror of the cross and the horror of hell. The cross being stripped of its power to bear the punishment that is coming. And hell demythologized into self-dehumanization and social miseries in the world. Oh, that God would raise a generation, many generations, who would see that the world is not overrun with a sense of God's seriousness. There is no excess. Earnestness comes these days rare. Heaven, hell, God, sin, salvation, that's our life, and it doesn't get any weightier than that. And therefore, today, the joy of millions of Christians is paper thin. By the millions, people, including pastors, are amusing themselves to death with DVDs and 107-inch TV screens and games on their cell phones and slapstick worship, while leaders of major world religion write letters to the West like this, quote, "The first thing we are calling you to is Islam. It is the religion of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil with hand and tongue and heart. It is the religion of jihad in the way of Allah so that Allah's word and religion reign supreme." And then these spokesmen publicly, breathtakingly, bless suicide bombers who blow up children in front of falafel shops and call it the way to paradise. And yet, incomprehensibly, in this Christ-diminishing, soul-destroying age, books, seminars, divinity schools, homiletics teachers are saying to young pastors, lighten up. Get funny. Do something amusing. To which I want to say, where is the Spirit of Jesus? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for he who would save his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. If you do not renounce all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. If you do not hate your mother and your father, you cannot be my disciple. Let the dead bury their dead. Follow me. Become a slave of everybody. Fear the one who can cast both soul and body into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Some of you they're going to put to death. Don't be afraid. Not a hair of your head is going to perish on that block. Where is Christ? Lighten up, Jesus. Get funny. From my perspective, which feels very close to eternity these days, these counsels are insane. They're insane.